individual peace, from individual peace to corporate peace,
Amen.
Will release the greater welfare.
Amen.
Going from individual peace to corporate peace will release the greater welfare. Amen?
Amen.
Who wants to see the greatest level of welfare that Amen. God Amen. Has?
Amen. Amen.
I know I do too. I really do.
Amen.
And I desire for everyone to see it as well.
Yes.
All right. So Amen. In Matthew chapter 18, verse 19, we start out here. It says, again, I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father, which is in heaven. The word agree means to be harmonious, to be harmonious. We know that harmony, to be in harmony, means to be in peace. So now we see where the Lord is telling us in Matthew 18 and 19 that we, if we are harmonious, we can ask anything, anything, and it shall be done. And the reason being is because if we're harmonious, it means that you're individually harmonious with the Father. We're in a place of being in harmony with him. But the call that he wants to use and he wants to do is getting us all into that position of harmony.
Amen.
And we all know how we get there. We get there by what we've learned about this rhema word. We become harmonious inside of the rhema, that when we're walking, if we're touching and agreeing on earth and in any manner, it's going to happen because we're all locked in this rhema word. I mean, completely locked. Is the church always going to be in the same exact word? No, that's not what he's saying. But if it's a rhema word, if a corporate body or a local body is moving in harmony in the rhema that he's giving for you, this said house, anybody Mark IV-ing, anybody living in Mark IV, I love coming together with Evangelist Darrell because he's all the way in Colorado. I'm here in Florida. But when the rhema meets the rhema, there's such a harmony that comes out of it.
Amen.
It comes out of it. Now that he's a part of our ministry and coming in to the ministry, we're in a greater harmony. But we were already in a place of great harmony because Amen. He stays in the rhema word.
Amen.
Anyone, Amen. Your message in the rhema may be different from the message God has given us. But if we're all doing what Mark 4 says, staying in the now conversation that God has for you, there's a certain sound that will be produced and there's a level of agreement that is there. And if two of us have that harmony, if two of us have that place of joining, if he's joined to that rhema and I'm joined to this rhema, we're joined to the same rhema because it's Christ.
Hallelujah.
And so that makes us harmonious. That brings us in the power of agreement to where now God himself can show up because he's seeing two. There's agreement there. There's agreement. There's the number of witnesses there. And now God shows up and does whatever these two are coming together to ask him for. It's all about being in harmony. It's all about being joined as individuals, and then recognizing, oh God, help us, to recognize when someone is joined. Because when you find someone that is joined, you have now added, my goodness, such an arsenal against the enemies, and you have just now added another dimension to the victories in which you're looking for. The worth and the wealth of someone in agreement is unbelievable. It moves heaven on a whole nother level. Amen?
Amen.
All right. So now, to be in Amen. Harmony means to be in peace with one another. That only comes by us as individuals being in peace or joined to God. Then we will be at peace or joined with one another. And that's when we start to see the workings of God. We look at Deuteronomy chapter 32, verses 29 and 30. It says, oh, that they were wise, that they understood this, that they would be that they would consider their latter end. Watch this now, verse 30. How should one chase 1,000 and two put 10,000 to flight, except their rock had sold them and the Lord had shut them up? Now, the word rock means mighty God, all right? And the word sold means a daughter into marriage or to surrender or to sell oneself, all right? So now, what we see is if one comes into a place of surrender to this word, one can chase 1,000, but the only way you come into surrender is that the rock has caused you to do so, that God himself has caused you but to hear his word. So we're blessed. I heard Elder Donna talking about that last night in the Moore group. We're blessed because of our hearing. Our rock has sold us. We've been sold into this marriage. We have been joined by the rock. And because we're joined by the rock, one can chase 1,000. But watch this. I like the second part of this. Why should I settle for just 1,000? If I can get someone in connection with me, two of us can put 10,000 to flight. For adding one person that has been sold into surrender by the rock, if I add one person to my side here, man, now I'm getting 10,000 being put to flight. So my 1,000 now turns into 5,000 for me and 5,000 for him. 10,000 altogether. I'm winning a greater victory here with someone that's been sold by the rock, with someone that's under surrender, with someone that's in this thing joined as though they were in a marriage unto God. There's greater dimensions of victory. Somebody say amen if you're hearing me.
Amen.
Thank you, God. So how should one chase 1,000 or two put 10,000 to flight? I'll tell you how. Let their rock sell them into surrender. Let the Lord shut them up. Let the Lord give you victory. Let the Lord be on your side. If two come together or three touching anything, God will be right there. Christ says, I'm right there in the midst of you. All right, I'll do it for you. I'll get you the victory as long as you've been sold into a place of surrender. That's a totally different look on that scripture right there. So once again, when we see, when we as individuals come into a full surrender into the rhema, we see victory. But when we do it corporately, we will see a greater victory.
Amen.
We
amen.
Will see the annihilation of our enemies in groves.
Amen.
It's totally different.
Yes, God.
It's totally different. I wonder why Jesus sent him out in twos. I'll tell you why, because they were getting a greater dimension of victory.
Yes,
talk about it.
They were in a greater dimension of victory going out by themselves. Now you know why Jesus said, greater works will you do now that I go unto the Father. Mm-hmm. Why? You'll see massive groves of victory. Jesus said, man, when I sent you guys out, I beheld Satan falling like lightning. And here I said, I'm going to try to let these scriptures preach by themselves. I don't know if I know how to do that yet.
It's okay, Apostle.
Jesus, he said that. He said, I beheld Satan fall like lightning. That means, man, it was happening so fast. There were strikes coming so fast all over the place. And they came back and reported, Lord, the demons are subject to us in thy name. Sickness is subject. Everything is subject to us in your name. They were experiencing this, moving in what you'd have to call corporate agreement. I'd rather have my brother with me, in agreement with me, putting 10,000 to flight.
Mm-hmm.
And then let me add another one to that call. And then another one to that call. Then another one to that call. Listen, we have to understand, a third of heaven fell. A third of heaven fell. Satan doesn't have a small army. And so if we're moving them by thousands, imagine shutting up oppressive spirits of infirmity, by the thousands.
Bless God.
Imagine moving. This is what you call peace on earth. Goodwill toward men. This is the body moving and getting the work done.
Yes, God.
I pray you guys buy into this. I pray that we become each other's keeper, that if we fall, we get up quickly, because it's not just us that's at stake here, but our brothers are at stake.
Yes, yes, yes.
That if we fail, we get back in order quickly so that we can continue to move and move thousands. That I can, if I know you're oppressed, I can lift up a prayer because I'm joined to you and watch God move on your behalf.
Yes, God.
Hallelujah. In Leviticus 26, we read a little bit of this last night, 26, 1 through 10. It says, you shall make no idols, nor graven images, neither rear you up a standing image, neither shall you set up an image of stone in your land to bow down unto it, for I am the Lord your God. You shall keep my Sabbaths and reverence my sanctuary. I am the Lord. Verse 3 gets really good. If you walk in my statutes and keep my commandments and do them. Then verse 4 shows us welfare. Then if you do this, if you do this, if you do this, if you listen, then I will give you rain in due season. The land shall yield her increase, and the trees of the field, the trees of the field shall yield their fruit. Verse 5. And your threshing shall reach unto the vintage. Oh, I love it. And the vintage shall reach unto the sowing time. And you shall eat your bread to the full and dwell in your land safely. That speaks of absolutely no dry season coming in your life.
Amen.
As a part that, because you're reverencing him, you're keeping his commandments. How? By staying in the joining with God through the Rhema word. You're doing this. You're staying joined to him, and the enemy doesn't like it. And I feel this is happening. Then I feel verse 4 about taking place. Then I will give you rain in due season, and the land shall yield her increase, and the trees of the field. Yes, Lord, I hear you. And the trees of the field shall yield their fruit, and your threshing shall reach unto the vintage, and the vintage shall reach unto the sowing. Unto the sowing time, and you shall eat your bread to the full and dwell in your land safely. Verse 6, I love it because this is our subject. And I will give you peace. And I will give peace in the land. And you shall lie down, and none shall make you afraid. I will rid evil beasts out of the land. Neither shall the sword go through your land. And I love this here. And you shall chase your enemies, and they shall fall before you by the sword. Verse 8. Watch the transition. And 5 of you shall chase 100. And 100 of you shall put 10,000 to flight. And your enemies shall fall before you by the sword. For I will have respect unto you and make you fruitful and multiply you and establish my covenant with you. And I love this right here, verse 10. It stabilizes us in this type of lifestyle. Verse 10 tells us how to stay here. But we see the progression in verse 8. We see this here. There is a progression. There's a progression. And God teaches us how to stay in what's called the climactic progression. In verse number 10, it says, and you shall eat old store and bring forth the old because of the new. Wait a minute. We've talked about this over the years. In fact, in many of the messages, you'll hear me say, this is old store. Mm-hmm. We begin to eat old store because of the new rhema. It begets the old. It causes it to be engrafted. This is why strength and power is coming, because you're getting a former and latter rain. You're getting an anointing that comes from former and latter. And now we eat old store. And this is how the Lord says this is going to be your climactic. This is how you're going to stay in a climactic place of progression. You're not going to ever come out of this place. You're always going to see victory. There's always going to be an adding to you. 5 of you will chase 100. Then I'll get 100 of you that will put 10,000 to flight. And as I keep adding, you'll see more and more and more of your enemies being scattered. And this is how you're going to continue. You're going to eat old store and bring forth the old. Why? Because you're staying in the new rhema. New rhema will grab old rhema. Old rhema will cause new rhema. And it's not going to end.
Bless God.
It's not going to end. It's not going to end. The old rhema that's already established in you. Listen. And you'll bring forth the old because of the new. When you're getting new, the new will reach back to the old. You're going to stay put in the place of the joining, in the place of agreement. You're never going to leave. That's why when you're really deep in it, rhema begets rhema. It starts to reach back to what you already heard. New rhema is reaching back and connecting it to watch this now. The new rhema is connecting the old rhema to itself. And now you're putting your enemies to flight like crazy. You're strengthened. You're strengthened by the ancestry of rhema that's on the inside of you. And the new will quicken the old. Where's your enemy going to go? Where's your enemy going to go when the rhema word reminds you of what it said a year ago? And it brings you into remembrance of utterances. That's what Panita is all about. And Elder Donna is all about. Evangelist Panita is about that. Those utterances, that's new causing the old to come forward. And this is what you call, man, I'm telling you now, a climactic progression. It doesn't end. Ooh, glory be to God.
Praise God.
And then God is going to cause those that come in and join themselves to hear the new. And then the new will become old, but then the new that they get again will reach back to the old. In fact, they'll learn of what you heard prior to them coming.
True.
They'll hear what you heard. And they'll connect themselves and join themselves to the old in you, because the new will cause you to prophesy of the old.
Praise God.
This is what you call this climactic progression, but this is what you call also the true corporate place of God's peace. When we're all grafted into the old because of the new, we'll eat the old store. We'll eat it together in our fellowship, and we'll continue to grow and be strengthened. And 100 of us will put 10,000 to flight. And God wants to multiply us here. God wants us in a place of absolute union together, and to realize the benefit of being joined in this corporate level of peace.
Yes.
To really, really, really start to meditate on the fact that you do have brethren. When Paul was stoned to death, it was the brethren that stood around him that prayed him back to life. It wasn't Paul's anointing on his life. It was the brethren that prayed Paul back to life after Paul was stoned to death. You'll start to recognize the strength that's in the body, and that's part of who you are. God is causing us to open our eyes to one another now, to understanding what's in you. Understand what God has blessed us with when Evangelist Benita gets on this line and starts to pull, to pull heaven down and present it to us by the declarations. Understand what's going on. That's a part of your body. Moving for you, praying with you, interceding, calling out God's blessing, and reminding God, not for herself, but for us. Hallelujah.
Yes, yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord God.
When Elder Donna or Elder Curtis or start to move in prayer, or Elder Allison, or Sister Javon, one of the teachers start stepping up, Joshua, when we start hearing this, man, this is for us. We are the body.
Amen.
We're sustained by one another. Imagine only having to dial in and you had a bad day, but a part of your body said, I got nourished today. Hear ye me. And all of a sudden you're strengthened again and revitalized.
Yes, God. Thank you.
Because the body as a whole is healthy. The body as a whole is healthy, man. When we as individuals stay in the rhema and remain and live by the rhema, we see and we have victory. But as more are added into this rhema life, the welfare and victory increases to a much higher level. Verse 10 becomes a key to how we will remain and increase in the welfare of our God. When we eat the old store, it will cause a new store to come forth, and we will eat the old because of the new. This is speaking of rhema begetting rhema. It describes being sustained from the old and new, the old to the new and back to the old again. It also points to the climactic progression. It speaks of abounding winds by way of corporate joining. Our oneness revealed. This is where the anointing and the covenant and the fruit of peace is taking us into oneness. Into oneness. Glory be to God. The oneness message isn't for everybody. It really isn't. I'm going to be very open and honest. It's not for everybody. It's not for those that are individual achievers. It's not for those that don't have that don't walk in a revelation of us being the body. Because so often we've heard the gospel, and as I stated to you, we've heard the gospel that makes us go get it individually. But me as an apostle, I'm shifting into the place where God really has desired for me and all of his body to be, in oneness. A woman prophesied to me a long time ago. She told me, she said, "Pastor Todd, God gave you power before he gave you love." And I looked at her and I told you, only God could tell you that. Only God could tell you that. But over the years, how God has caused his love to permeate me. Over the years, and now I'm under another maturation period of hearing this message of peace and wanting to be one with my brethren so we can see a greater dimension of God in all of our lives.
Yes, Lord.
I want to see the fullness of Jesus, and it's going to take you being there with me. And I'm good with that. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 16 and 17 says, "The cup of blessing, which we bless, is it not communion of the blood of Christ?" Listen to this, guys. "The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ?" Never saw this scripture that I can remember. Verse 17 says, "For we being many are one bread and one body. For we are all partakers of that one bread." If we are partakers of eating the fragments, we too become one fragment. We become one bread. We together. And what scares me is this, not scares me, but it awakens my understanding is that a little leaven leavens the whole lump. So I have to be my brother's keeper. I want to continue to be the gift of God, to continue to make us better. We come to the height of all things when the fivefold ministry is functioning within our house.
Amen.
Because we are one bread. We are one body. We that's why I love it. Again, I reflect back on Evangelist Darrell saying, "My God, everybody sounds like you," because we are one bread. We are one body. And the sooner we embrace this, hallelujah, the sooner we're going to see the welfare of God. They embraced it in Acts 2. They embraced it in Acts 4. They see the outbreak in Acts 5. They embrace being one. Jesus.
Hallelujah.
When we embrace it, oh God. They said in Acts, they said, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Watch this. Men and brethren. Why would the one asking the question, men and brethren, because they were embracing, they were all hearing the truth. Men. Those that came from foreign countries. Brethren, those that were of the Jewish sect. But he didn't say, "Brethren, what shall we do?" He said, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" They embraced being one. They embraced being one. Unbelievable. They embraced it. That's why Paul went and rebuked Peter when Peter was starting to get in, caught up in dissimulations. And I'm telling you, Paul went and rebuked them because Peter was starting to tell the people they needed to be circumcised, that they really weren't a part of the body because they're not. Paul went and had it out with Peter, put him in his place. Why? Because Peter was making a difference between Jews and Greeks and everybody else other than the Jews. And Paul said, that's not what brought us together, Peter. It was by the word of grace. They protected the oneness.
Amen.
Hallelujah, that's where Jesus. The power was flowing from.
Hallelujah.
Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Jesus. It's a lot more than Christians trying to do the word that brings agreement. I keep reflecting back on times of the altar, working with different ministers, and we were all supposed to be one. A revival in Jamaica that broke out. And I remember years ago, in this revival there, it just broke out while we were there. But everybody couldn't move under the anointing, though we were men of God come from America to minister. But I remember God wasn't using everybody that was at that altar laying hands. I could feel the indifference at the altar. I actually felt the Spirit of God shelter me from a lot of what they were doing. I remember they were trying to get something started and trying to look for a way that where is God at? And they're doing what they learned to do as men of God. But the agreement was not at the altar. For many of them weren't in the mind. They weren't in the mind of the Spirit at all. And I remember this. And I remember when the Lord said this strange word out of my mouth. They were having an altar call and not many people were coming. And the ones that were coming weren't getting anything. And the Lord spoke a word out of my mouth. And he said, those of you that have suffered in this church, a family member sexually abusing you, come to this altar. I didn't know none of these people, but God did. When the mind of God got there, there was a grove of women from outside the church, inside the church, all over the place. The altar was flooded. And God broke that spirit from up off of them that night. God broke that spirit. Incest was broken that night from off of that parish that we were in.
Amen.
God did that.
Yes.
But I'll tell you what God did.
Hallelujah.
At the altar, when God, the mind of God, hit the altar, all the men of God that were there lined up to the mind of God, and the anointing was permeating through all of us. Because God shared his mind. And the men of God that were there lined up to the mind of God. It's powerful. It's powerful.
Awesome, God.
Amen.
We're one bread.
Yes.
We're one bread. They have to be eating one bread. One bread, that mind, that bread. Who's that bread? Who's the head of that? Jesus Christ is that. We're partakers of that bread. So we become a part of that bread. How are you going to be sourdough and he's just plain old, good old fashioned white bread? The flavor has to be the same. 1 Corinthians 12:12-14 says this, for as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. I'm going to read that again. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink in, we all have been made to drink into one spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. But we're still just one. We're just one. For the husband is the head of the wife, it says in Ephesians 5:23, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the savior of the body. We're just one. But when these members start moving, these members start moving. I think about an athlete. An athlete that may have some tremendous upper body strength and abilities up with his upper body. But his lower, his calves and his thigh muscles and or her thigh muscles, whoever, they don't match what's going on up top. So that athlete begins to work their areas of weaknesses. And as they're working and strengthening in areas that they were weak, they're jumping higher, they're running faster, they're doing things. They're equaling their upper body. There's greater success, is what I'm trying to say. Though it's there's many members, but though those members that were not as strong, they got strengthened.
Yes.
There's greater success. If I'm merely a part of the pinky, I don't know where I fit. I don't know where I fit in terms of being a part of where on the body. I don't really care, to be honest with you. Wherever I fit, I just want my joint to supply. Amen. If all of our joints begin to supply, we become incredibly strong.
Yes. Amen. Amen. Amen.
And the welfare of God. The welfare of God. Is seen on a whole nother level because we're in a place of corporate peace.
Thank you, God. Thank
you. I'm closing. I'm finished there. And I want you to just take this thought. Take this thought tonight. Take it with you. If you don't do it for you, if you don't want it for you, do it for someone else. Do it for someone else. If you can't maintain for you, maybe you're someone that's better doing it for someone else. Think about what you add to your brethren that are on this phone. Think about it. Think about what you bring to the table. Think about the supply that you have. How do I keep giving that over? Just stay in the study. Stay in the now, Rhema, word of God. Stay joined. And when you open your mouth now, God is about to cause you to intercede for the body in TGM. I know this for sure. I know our first assignment is one another. I know it. I know God wants to break us out because the prophecy is they're going to say, where did they come from?
And
the Bible says taking care of everybody, especially those of the household of faith. I believe that God is saying to us, just like when the 3,000 were added, they sold their possessions and divided them. And then many of the 5,000 that were out listening to the word were added. And they too sold possessions and distributed. I believe that God has a plan for us. I believe that grace, I'm saying it again, I believe grace is going to first come through us to us. I believe it. I believe it.
Amen.
God wants us to experience his peace, but he's saying, but I called you as one. I know you're doing well by yourself. I know it. But I called you as one. David and his boys lived in the caves of Adullam. And David and his boys rose to the palace too. They stayed from the pit to the palace. They stayed together. David and his boys were eating shewbread, not just David.
Mm-hmm.
They stayed in a place of oneness. The writer said this, and I read it tonight, and I thought the Lord wanted to open it up and use it, perhaps just in this measure. The writer said this, that when the women saw Saul come back from battle, they saw Saul come back from battle. They came out with the intent to praise what Saul was doing. But the word of the Lord that came out their mouths was, Saul kills his thousands, but David is killing his tens of thousands. Why? Because David was joined to God. Saul left his joining. David had a greater measure of victory. Him and his boys were doing big things. That's when Saul got jealous and said, you know what? I'm about to take this boy out. You hear what they're singing? They're saying Saul kills his thousands and David his tens of thousands. What next? Is he going to have my kingdom? Yes, he is.
Yes, he is.
Because he's joined. And all that were with him were joined too. We stay joined when things were tough. And we're going to stay joined as things get so good by the anointing of God's welfare.
Amen. Amen.
And I'm going to be a vessel for distribution of that said welfare. I sure am.
Amen.
Yeah. There's a corporate peace we're coming into. There's a corporate anointing that we're coming into. And I'm excited about it. I really and truthfully, I am excited about it. I'm excited to watch God do what he's going to do. I truly, truly am. I'm excited to see God do all that he's going to do with us all, moving together, minding the same things, judging the same things, listening to the Rhema word together, sharing our fragments together, staying in the sound that God has for us. Amen. Amen. Praise God.
Amen, Lord.
Amen. There's a couple comments, not many. There's a couple. Elder Allison says, one bread. Jay says, amen. And then Evangelist Nita says, amen. We shall do the greater works united in the body. That's right.
Amen, God.
That's so right. And I'm excited about it. I'm excited about it. Don't make me say it again, Evangelist Benita. Don't make me call the Avengers to assemble again. You know you felt that anointing.
Oh, no, yes. You did. Oh, yes.
We're about to assemble.
We are the modern day superheroes.
Yes, we are.
Bless God.
Greater works will we do. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
This message is a very unselfish message because the church was founded on this right here.
Yes.
The church was founded in the book of Acts on this right here. They were one mind. They were one voice. And they saw their God move. They stayed in the peace of God together. So now when you're there and you recognize where you are, don't just lift up your voice for yourself. Stretch out and thank him for the blessing that's over your brother and sisters. Lift your hands to him and bless his name for what he's doing for all of the house of TGM. Going to change the entire narrative, and you're going to see not your thousands being put to flight, but 10,000s, because as you're doing it and following the instruction, so is your brethren. And we're putting thousands, hundreds of thousands to flight. Victory on every side. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. I'm done right there. Father, we give you praise for the word tonight. We thank you for the Rhema studies, Lord God. We thank you for the utterances. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for the utterances. We give you praise. We thank you for revealing the mind of the Spirit. We thank you for distribution, giving us the mind of the Spirit.
Yes, God.
We're excited that you're giving us general instruction. We're going to praise you when you give us a personal instruction as a ministry, which I believe you've already began to download. We're excited to see the manifestations of the mind of the Spirit. We're excited to walk in them together, Jesus.
Yes, God.
Together, Master. No weapon formed against us will prosper.
Mm.
When we lay down, we all lay down in peace. When we rise in peace.
Thank you, Jesus.
We've been keeping your statutes and commandments. We've been keeping the glimpse on this rhema word. And you'll do the rest. But we're not letting go, Master. But you're revealing something to us. You're revealing that we are your body.
Yes, God.
And that there's a greater anointing together as opposed to being individual. And bless you for it, Jesus.
Amen, God.
Amen. Amen. Praise God.